Praise God. Turn to Luke's Gospel. Let's start in Luke chapter 1 this morning and read and listen to the Word of God together. Father, as we approach your Word, I pray that we would approach it with honor and with reverence, acknowledging that this is the true, living, unchangeable Word of God. And that as you send your Word out today, Lord, I pray that our hearts would receive it as a word from God, not from man. And that our hearts would believe and lay hold with faith, that we'd mix what we're hearing with faith today, and not just hear a message, but hear and believe it, and so go out changed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. This is the wonderful word of God about Mary receiving the word to have a son. And this angel shows up and speaks to her. Let's look at verse 28. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And many times throughout the Old Testament, but also in our lives too, the Lord wants to say, hello. Just thought I'd wake you up. Greetings. This is real. God speaking. Real. The word of God is real. It's his voice. Greetings. This is his word, not mine. Highly favored. I love that. Not, well, you're all right. You're okay. I think I might be able to do something with your life. Now, remember that Mary, just like every person since Adam, was born a sinner. And so Jesus, being full of grace, or God being full of grace and mercy, he comes to this young girl and says, "You're highly favored." And then he says, "The Lord's with you." And whenever you hear the Lord say, "The Lord is with you," you know that there's something quite big about to happen. Because you really need him to be with you. So, you remember when he said it to Gideon? Gideon is amongst a people, a nation of absolute failures, because they've rebelled against God, and rebellion equals failure in the end. You will lead yourself into failure. And the people of God didn't do what God said, and they were actually overrun by the enemy. And you can't win over the enemy with rebellion and sin in your life. You have to come out into forgiveness and into obedience to Jesus Christ. Jesus is a radical Lord, and he calls for radical discipleship. He calls us to turn, leave everything, and follow. And Gideon, he's this young man, and he's actually threshing wheat in a wine press, which is an unusual, ridiculous place to thresh wheat, but he's in hiding. It's in a bit of a low pit, and he's hiding, trying to get a little bit of harvest out for his life and family. And God shows up and speaks to him, and he also says, "Greetings." And he says, "The Lord is with you." And once again, if you're ever going to have a turnaround in your life, you need to hear those words, "The Lord is with you." If you want to live an ordinary life, just be with yourself. But if you want an extraordinary life, say, "God's with me." And the Bible says if Christ is in you, that is God living in you through faith in Jesus Christ. So God is already here. But we sometimes need to be reminded that the Lord is with us. We need to think all the time about the one who lives in us. And God says, "The Lord is with you," to Gideon, "you mighty man of valor," or "you mighty warrior." In other words, you are the strongest, most expert warrior we've got. And this is someone cowering in shame and in fear and in hiding. It is totally the opposite to what Gideon thinks of himself. And I think it's amazing how God always shows up where he finds a humble heart with people who do not think they're much in themselves. Because Mary was the same. She didn't think she was anything special. But God came in and says, I can use anybody who's not proud in their own eyes. I can use the humble. People who say, okay, what do you want to do? And God spoke over Gideon. You are a mighty warrior. And it was the defining word for his entire life. And if you're ever going to fulfill your destiny, you must hear that the Lord is with you, and you need to hear what he has to say about you. Because the way that God fulfills your destiny is by speaking to you, telling you, bringing his word into your life. And so Mary receives this unusual message and was greatly troubled at his words. And I can imagine that. And there's times when God has spoken to me and I've been greatly troubled. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Because if you can predict everything that God is going to do, it's time you really got a revelation of who God is. Because God is not actually predictable in some ways. He actually is always predictable according to his word. But he does things outside the box. And this is one of them. He's going to pull a number on Mary she never would have thought about. In her wildest dreams, she never thought she was born for this purpose. Young girl. Teenager. We're talking a teenager. Highly favored. The Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And I think that's funny in itself. What an interesting greeting from God. And here comes the don't be afraid. Always the Lord speaks and says, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. So God's message gets even beyond anything than she's just heard. And that is that she's going to have a son, and that son will be the Son of God. Wow. Do you not think what God does with people is extraordinary? And yet, Mary's no different to us who believe in him, because actually, the Son of God is in us, and he will be great. The same one lives in us, the Lord God Almighty, the Word who became flesh. And Mary starts to ask the questions, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And verse 37, I just want to pick out this verse. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. The literal Greek of that word is, it is possible for God to perform his every declaration. It is possible for God to perform everything he says. So this greeting and this download of God speaking to an individual, it is possible for God to do this. Now, as Pastor Andrea said earlier, do you believe I'm able to do this? Is the big question. When God speaks, we need to say, hang on now, am I believing he's able to do this? Let's just ask the question. But always, Jesus doesn't say, do you believe you are able to do it? It's a big difference. He says, do you believe I am able to do it? And Mary does something which I feel is the key to seeing everything that God wants to do in and through our lives happen in reality. She said in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. Or I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Or let it be to me according to your word. So when the word comes, when God speaks, Mary responds with, I am your servant. Basically, she was saying, I'm yours to do with as you please. Her first response is, I'm not here for my own words, my own plans, my own agenda. I'm not here to see my dreams happen. I'm here to be your servant, Lord. And the cry of God, I believe, is going across this generation. Who's going to be like Mary and say, I'm yours. Do with my life as you choose. You chose me, Lord. In one sense, I didn't take the initiative. I did say yes. But there are so many Christians who are saying, let it be to me according to my own word, my own agenda. And there aren't that many who say, whatever. I believe God will find quite a few in this room who will say whatever. I do believe that. But those who don't say, here I am, completely available for whatever you say, don't see the same fruit. Because the fruit happens with somebody who says, absolutely, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be in my life. Not according to what, hang on, I think I prefer another scripture. I wish it was another destiny. I wish it was that person's call. I could handle that person's call a lot better than I could handle my own. And I bet everybody in this room would say the same. Have you ever looked at somebody who you thought, well, that looks a whole lot easier than what I'm doing? Let it be according to their word, Lord. And the Lord wants us to say, like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. What you've just said, I accept it. I say yes, Lord. I give myself wholeheartedly to the plan that you have to see Jesus revealed through my life. And if you're in that position today, God is going to put things in your heart because he knows that what he puts in, he can grow. And he can see develop and happen. Because it's good soil. I want to tell you that Mary was good soil. She had a good and noble heart that produced a hundredfold. She got an amazing amount of fruit. And the prerequisite to seeing every amazing plan that God has for our lives is hearing his word and saying, I'm your servant. I'm not here for my own agenda. I'm not here for the honor of man. I'm not here for the approval of what I think people think about me. I'm here for Jesus. Amen. And I'm here for Jesus alone. Yes. But if we accept that in these kinds of people, God is able to perform his every declaration. God will perform every word he says, but it will happen in your life as you accept and yield to what God says to you. And God is speaking to everybody this morning, if they're listening. God speaks. Greetings, highly favored. The Lord is with you. And you need to know that he's got stuff for you to do that goes well beyond what you're living now. Well beyond what you've seen yet. But I want to say that Mary actually is an example of how to see God work in your life. That if we truly want the same things that we read about in Scripture in the lives of individuals, then we need to understand there are certain principles by which we can learn how to work with God, how to cooperate with God in our lives. And let's turn to Mark chapter 11 and look at the understanding of God's ways in seeing the Lord work in and through our lives. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Jesus, in verse 12 of Mark chapter 11, he was leaving Bethany. He was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, now remember, God is able to perform his every declaration. So what did he say? If he wanted to change something, he spoke to it. Just like he wants to change you, he'll speak to you. Hello. And if he wants to change me, he'll speak to me. If he wants to change anything about my life, he'll speak first. Because before God does anything, he always speaks first. So he said to the tree, now a lot of people find it difficult to actually get their minds around this, but it's time you grew up and understood that words change the shape of your world.
Yes.
Everything is changed by speaking. God created all things by speaking, and he still does. And he uses his word. And Jesus here is to be our example of how to see things happen. And he spoke to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. I've said that to cancer, and that's what's happened. It's not actually produced anything ever again. Hallelujah! Because when you speak to cancer with authority and faith, it can't grow anymore. So this is how we're to cooperate with God's ways. And Jesus is giving us an example of how to see things happen. Now, skip to verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. So this is awesome. 24, well, probably 12 hours. They come back and they see this fig tree is dead. And when I say dead, I mean dead. It's not just in a little drought with a withered leaf or two. It's absolutely from the roots. It's dead, empty of all life. Because God is able to perform his every declaration. No word from God will return empty. But every word will accomplish what it has been sent to do. And that's why God wants a whole lot of Marys saying, let it be to me. I accept your word. Let it be to me according to your word. So Jesus comes to this fig tree with the disciples, and Peter remembered and he said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And Jesus now is an opportunity. This is a visual aid for a teach. Jesus says, I did that so you would understand how life should work for you. So I just want you to think in your mind, fig tree, Jesus speaks, it's now dead. Now Jesus wants to teach you with the same picture. And he says, have faith in God. The literal Greek, it means to have the faith that comes from God, because we can't manufacture faith. Faith comes when God speaks. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's why we need to be listening, as we heard last weekend. Listen to what Jesus says, because faith comes from hearing. Have the faith that comes from God, Jesus answers. I tell you the truth, anyone who says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now, this is an incredible open door for you. It's like a God is saying, do you know what? If you believe in your heart and have received faith from me, and you speak and declare for any obstacle, any situation that is in the way of the purposes of God, or any sickness, or anything that is coming against your life, you speak to it, you will have what you say. And you, with your faith and your mouth, can move mountains. With your faith and your mouth, what you say. And I want you to notice clearly, it does not say what you pray. And Jesus knows what he's trying to teach us by emphasizing say. Now, he says, you believe it in your heart. You know, you do not believe with your head. You can give a yes with your head and say, well, I agree. And a lot of Christians don't live powerful Christian lives because they just accept the word and say, well, yes, I accept that. But faith is when you hear the word, like Mary, and you say, even though I don't understand how it's going to happen, I've got no idea how you're going to do it. I accept it. I believe it. And actually, do you know what she did? She immediately left, went to see her cousin. And she declared in the next few verses, you can read it, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She declared, "He has done great things for me." She declared her faith. She spoke. Now, I want to tell you that actually that was immediate. She didn't wait for a sign. She spoke out her faith before she had a sign. And we've got to wean ourselves off signs and to live by what God says alone. To depend on the totally dependable word of God that unchanges. And to understand that every promise is yes and amen for you. And it will happen to you as you accept it and don't doubt. Believe in your heart, Jesus says, and do not doubt. Now, doubt comes to all of us. Our minds can be in conflict about the devil can speak and say, well, it's not going to happen. How could it possibly happen? But you need to doubt the doubts. You need to doubt your doubts about what God has promised. And say, I totally accept what God's going to do, and He has done great things for me. I'm speaking in faith. We must start to live by faith and continue to live by faith. Not just start, continue. And not our feelings or our experiences or what's happening in our world. Sometimes God won't do anything in your life until you start to apply this principle. Because He's saying, I want you to understand how life is going to work as a believer. I want you to understand that faith will come by hearing me. Have the faith that comes from God, not from your own imagination, but from Him. And then believe in your heart and speak it, and it will come to pass. Now, this is a principle. It's a law. And if we're not taught this, it's not just going to fall on you. Because naturally speaking, all you want to do is say what you feel every moment of the day. If you're anything like me, we had some bad news this morning. Well, good news in that my Uncle John went to be with the Lord last night, Joan's brother. And before the meeting, we had a few tears, and I think during. But I'm not going to stand up here and talk about my feelings. I'm going to preach the Word of God, because I know the Word of God actually brings purpose and faith and victory into everything. But I'm not doing what I feel. Hallelujah. I'm doing what I believe. Let it be to me according to your word, Lord. Praise God, he's been promoted to glory. You know, he's absolutely having the best time he's ever had. So he's in the best place. But, you know, we must come off our own feelings and stop living by what we feel and living by our own thoughts and what we imagine and say, God, bless my thoughts, my decisions. Say, Lord, whatever you want, I will do with my life, because I want to be a fruitful believer in this generation. I want to live for Jesus Christ in reality. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus says that if we apply this word that he gives to every believer, that if we believe and have faith and we believe and speak, then it will happen just as it happened with that fig tree. Just as it's happened in every generation for anybody who has taken hold of this word and says, right, I'll live like that. I want to live like this. Do you want to live like this? This is not theory, it's power. This is the powerful Christian life within these words that Jesus taught. So Jesus is saying your mouth affects everything about the outcome of your faith. Can I repeat that? Your words affect everything about the outcome of your faith. It's not enough just to say, I have faith, and say nothing to situations. It's not enough to not start speaking to funny things like trees. Now, we're not tree huggers, we're tree removers. You understand? But there's a spirit world dimension of understanding that you and I must come into to understand. I can tap into this and I'm going to live a powerful Christian life. But we must really appreciate that Jesus, whatever he teaches, he means. And he does mean you're going to have what you say. And some people are actually believing for a negative outcome. You can tell by what they say. I mean, loads of people walk around and say, I think it's going to be a really difficult day. I just have a feeling in me I'm going to have a bad day. They're believing and they speak. And do you know what? They will have what they say. Because it works in the negative as well as in the kingdom of heaven, which is totally positive. Some people walk around saying, I'm just like my parents. They were no good, useless. There was sickness. There was a hereditary thing. I'm bound to be getting that in my old age. You will have what you say. So your future is connected to your believing and speaking. And actually, if I could put it down to, let's focus in on a particular point this morning. Your future is connected to that little pink thing in your mouth. In there, your future is connected to this. Now, I taught a little bit on this at Faith Camp because of healing. And I believe it's a principle for healing. To believe and speak. To believe and speak to the problem. Speak to the sickness. And also, I believe it's key to have a healthy soul, your emotions, your mind. Because I believe God wants us, as I said last week, we were teaching on the soul, how God wants us to prosper in our soul. And Jesus says you can speak to your soul. And you can send the word into your soul and it will heal you. The word of God has power to heal damaged emotions. People who have lived a life of rejection can be healed just by saying and believing, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I am loved. He has predestined me according to his will. I've been chosen by God. I've got a covenant with the Lord God Almighty. Just by saying it, your soul will receive the power of the Word of God to transform you. So many Christians are waiting for God to do something and he's already done it. Which is why he said, it is finished, which means it's done. I've done it. Now believe and speak. It's all available for you, but believe it and speak it and it will come into being for you. It will happen. So our mouth affects everything. It affects our destiny. It affects our marriages. Your mouth will affect your children growing up. Your mouth will affect the quality of your marriage, your relationships. If you speak negatively about your marriage or about somebody that you're in relation, particularly close relationship with, let me tell you, pretty soon that relationship is going to go very much downhill. And we are called to say things that don't yet exist. Just as God said to Gideon, you mighty warrior, whilst he was cowering and had no thought of being a man of war and leading a nation into victory. And so God does call things about you that are not as though they are. You might not be conquering today, but you are more than a conqueror. And it's time we believed it and spoke what God says. Christianity is a confession. It's the confession of our faith. And your confession really matters. And your mouth will get you into trouble or into blessing. Let's just turn to James chapter 3. Are you okay out there? Good, good, good. Your future is connected to, remember that little pink thing in your mouth. I believe you can speak your way into the most blessed marriage in the world. I believe you can speak your way into the job that God has assigned for you. I believe you can speak your way into the ministry that God has promised for you. Providing it was God that said it. Because there's no power in our own words, but in the word of the living God. Now in James chapter 3, this is one of those chapters we like to kind of skip over because it's actually one of those chapters that will affect all of us. You know, sometimes you read a scripture and say, well, praise God, that's just a blessing scripture. Other times, praise God, that's not me. Because some of them aren't written for in Christ believers. Some of them are written for others that do not believe. But in James chapter 3, verse 2, we'll read here, verse 2 of James 3. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, not praise, this is now speaking about speaking, what you say. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So in other words, you can rule your own life, your own body, even healing, through what you say, by keeping your speaking in check. So I know that I've used this example before, but it really is a real thing in my life. I know if I say I'm tired too many times, I'll only get more tired. I go downhill if I say, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so tired. And actually, I go on holiday this afternoon. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll have a rest. But if I keep saying it, I know I give power to the enemy. And power is not, I'm not empowering God to be my strength. You see, what do I need to do when I'm tired? God, you're the strength of my life. I thank you that you strengthen my whole being because you're my strength. So when I'm tired, if I speak what I feel, I'll say I'm tired. So I'm speaking out of feelings. But if I understand that my body will react to my own words and I say, God, you're my strength, and I keep believing it and speaking it, by the end of the day, I'll be like a spring chicken, springing everywhere, full of life, full of happiness, full of joy, can look back over the day and say, goodness me, Lord, once again. Well, he said, you did believe it and speak it. I'm always your strength, but when you believe it and say it, it actually comes to pass for you because I'm able to perform my every declaration and you were declaring my word. Amen. So just a little example there of how the reality of this needs to be happening in our lives. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example, though they're so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. Well, the Holy Spirit can help us, can't he? Man can't. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. You need God's help. So man cannot tame the tongue. My tongue is an unruly danger unless I get it tamed. Yes? It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So speaking about poison in the tongue, you can have poison in the words you're speaking. And poison, what does it do? It kills things. It kills people. Primarily, it's people that will be damaged. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. So we come to church on a Sunday and we go, Christ alone. Oh, I'm so moved. I love you, Jesus. So with the tongue, we praise the Lord. The next thing that James says, And with it, we curse men. Can't stand my boss. I don't like that person. I don't like the way they are in church. I don't like the things that they say or do. And it's almost like one thing is doing the right thing with your tongue. The other is doing the wrong thing. You're bringing down and cursing people with the things that you say. We curse men who've been made in God's likeness. And that's why everybody deserves honor from our lips. Speak well. Now, I know sometimes Jesus ripped into the religious people, called them a brood of vipers. But actually, that needed saying, because he said it. And there were times when he reacted in anger at certain things. And I believe there's a righteousness about some of the things. But most of the time, we're called, aren't we, to build people up with our words. My brothers, this should not be. Out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt water, salt spring produce fresh water. Now, this is an incredible portion of scripture to unpack. And we need to unpack it, church. We need to really think about the Word of God. What Jesus said, how Mary responded to the words of Jesus. But how also God wants to use our mouths and our tongues to glorify Him in every aspect of our lives. And this begins with this picture of a horse, how you put bits into the mouths of horses so that you can actually turn. And even though that horse might be much stronger and more powerful than you, that you actually have control over that horse by applying a bit of pressure on its mouth. And that's what this is all about. It's time to make sure you're putting pressure on your mouth. That when you want your mouth to go one way, you're going, you're not going to say that about them. You're just definitely not going to shoot your mouth off. I just need to get this out. Once it's out, the damage is done. And so bridle your tongue. In other words, just think, come on, Lord, now I just need you, Holy Spirit, to go your way, not mine. And your flesh will want to go that way, and you'll be like, we're going to go God's way. Father, I thank you for my brother or sister. I want to thank you for that person, my boss. And I just speak a blessing over them. So what's happening? What coming out of your mouth is blessing, not curse. You see, there's such mixture in our conversations. I think if you and I, myself included, we all need to grow in this. If you and I were to actually think about what we do say in every season, you know, people who have been around so long still have a negative spirit, negative words. It's time to stop it. Time to control your tongue. Because if you get your understanding that God is saying, turn your life around. Now, I mean, I've been on a runaway horse before. It wasn't very pleasant. And this huge animal was charging off up this track. And literally, you would have laughed. I laughed about it afterwards. But I was literally trying to hang on. I lost the reins because it had kind of created, reared up and bucked. And I lost the reins. And you know, we need to take the reins back of our life and our future by saying, come on, I'm going to get hold of that and I'm going to turn my life round by believing the good report of the Lord and speaking it. And stop being negative. Most people have a downer on themselves. Stop it. If Jesus has forgiven you, forgive yourself. There's no condemnation. And move on. And speak God's word over your life and future. Tame the tongue. James also uses this analogy of ships. And he says, the ships, if you think of a large ship as an example, They're large and they're strong winds and storms at sea. But that powerful, amazing, large vessel is turned by a little thing. And some of you are wanting a breakthrough in your life. And God's saying to you, it's a little thing that will turn your life around. And that little thing is your tongue. It's just a little thing. It might look huge, a massive issue going on. It might look like impossible, but believe that the Lord is able to do it and start to speak what God says into that situation. And that rudder, it is at the back of the boat, and when you turn it to try and turn the ship around, as you turn the rudder, the pressure of that water coming against that rudder gets more and more stronger. In other words, it's much harder to start to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and hold fast your confession when the pressure of your pains and suffering is great. It's easy to say it when everything's going well and you're going in the right direction, but it's much harder to put pressure on your tongue again and say, we're going to change course. And I don't believe there is anything in this world that can't be turned around by your tongue, by the word of God. And we're to say what he says. Can I just reemphasize? We're not just saying what we imagine. Get the word of God in you and speak God's word into your future, into your circumstances, and you will have what you say. You're looking at facing at something impossible. God's saying, believe it and speak my word to it and come against all the pressure that's coming against you, what you feel, what you're experiencing, and it will turn around. The hardest point for that little rudder to stay, you've got to stay on course. You just set your mouth. I remember my dad, when we used to sail, he used to, if we were on a kind of a long tack, he used to tie the rudder in a particular angle and say, let's have a snack and go off into the hull of the boat and get something and get some food for us. And we just sit and eat a snack. But it was held. The rudder was held in the direction that was going to be the right direction. And you must hold your tongue. You must speak the word of God. You can't just think it, because the power is in speaking it. And it's so important that we start to use our faith by speaking into our future and into our current circumstances, because what you say, you will have. The marriage you want, it's according to your faith and your words. The future that you want in God, can I say in God, it's believing and speaking all the way. Hold fast your confession. James also says your tongue is set on fire, that it sets the world on fire. If you think back that everything that is made was made by words, every destruction that happens in breakdown in relationships or in society happens through words. Things can break down so quickly through the wrong words. You can set a course of destruction for your future through your words. And God has called us to have his word spoken into situations. Like I said earlier, there are many people who just don't know why they're in so much trouble, but maybe it's because you spoke it. Maybe you said it. Because destruction comes through your tongue. I didn't say this, the word of God has said it. And it's just a little thing, it's a kindling. You know when you start a fire, you don't use a big log, massive stuff to start a fire. You use a little bit of kindling and light that. And just small words can actually release destruction. In your body, in your mind, in your working life, in every aspect, God wants you to understand Your future and your life is connected to believing and speaking. Now I'm going to finish with Proverbs chapter 18, and then we're going to pray together. Proverbs 18. Just thank the Lord that he's given you a tongue to speak. And I want you, Lord, to use my tongue to glorify your name. Just tell him, I want you to, as I turn to the scripture, use my mouth to speak blessing, not curse. Amen. To speak the good things of God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Now, I think that's... I love Proverbs. Gossips. People who talk about people to other people, gossiping about what's happened, what they're like, what they've done. The words of the gossip are like choice morsels. In other words, they can be very tasty. So you're like, you're right. They are like that, aren't they? If I think about it, that's what they are like. I'm sure you're right. So gossips produce kind of these words that can be attractive initially. And the word then goes on to say, they go down to a man's inmost parts. The words that are spoken to you negatively about others go deep down into your heart. In other words, words are more than just noises. They are spirit. And they actually go into your spirit. This is a key understanding how words go much deeper than sound. Words have a powerful effect on people's hearts, not just their minds. Some people live their lives crippled emotionally because of what was said about them 30 years ago. Because those words were spoken, they went down deep, and it had a disabling effect. Many children grow up in today's society with such horrendous words spoken over them. They hear words of rejection. I don't want you around. I don't want to see your face. I don't want you back in the house. They just speak so negatively. You're stupid. You're no good. You'll be nothing. You'll end up doing this. You'll be in prison by the time you're 16. And you know what? Those words actually seem to turn out pretty accurate. And people actually must, particularly the people of God, need to understand that what we say actually has an effect on people's emotions, on their soul. It's very damaging to people. What you say in a moment of tension or in a moment of frustration, it is so important you understand that your words go a lot further than the sound. And it's okay to say, forgive me, but sometimes those words have gone so deep that they need to be rooted out. Yeah? So what the Bible says, if we understand that words have the power of life and death, verse 21 of Proverbs 18, it says the tongue has the power of life and death. Now, isn't it interesting? It doesn't say God has the power of life and death. The Word of God says the tongue has the power. There is power in the tongue of life and death. You can speak life, which of course we're all called to speak. Or you can speak death. You can kill something. You can kill and damage people with your words. Recently, I believe it was righteous anger. I was at Faith Camp, met up with some leaders from Italy, leaders, church leaders. And we were talking about what God's doing in Europe, and I was speaking about a particular man of God who I highly esteem, we highly esteem. And it was just like Proverbs about the gossip going, you know, trying to get into my heart about this great man of God. And this leader said, well, haven't you heard about what they're into, what they're doing? I said, well, yeah, I have heard, but I don't believe it. And he said, but everybody says so. And I said, yeah, and I think I know who started the rumor. But, you know, we've got to rule out slander and criticism out of our mouths. Because it'll only take you down and others down. Criticism is actually a no-no for a believer. And I stood there and I said, well, when everybody else in Europe can have the fruit that they've got pioneering into so many nations, I said, then I might kind of listen to you, but currently nobody else in Europe matches the fruit of this mission-orientated church. It's a phenomenal church. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But I thought, all these leaders are walking around having taken a morsel of gossip with no proof. And that's how, actually, churches can fold up and go nowhere. Because there's a gossip somewhere, a criticism, a complaint, that people start to say, well, the leadership is. And you know what? God hates that. He absolutely hates pulling people down with the tongue and pulling churches down with your mouth. And God wants us to understand that actually there is power. And we're here to speak life. We're here to say, this is a great church. We're here to say, we have got a great faith group. Even if you don't feel like this is a great church, God wants you to bless what he has blessed. Hello. And I'm just using this as an example because it can get into people and then they believe this report that has never had any foundation to it, because I actually ran the organization at the time and I said, is this going on? They said, absolutely not. I said, I didn't think so, but I thought I'd go to the people who actually know. So all the way around Europe, this ministry has been disrespected. I hate that thing because God hates it. But, you know, there are people, we're in a society where everybody wants to talk about their problems and talk about the negative things, aren't we? But the church isn't to be like that. We're here to talk about the good things. We're here to talk about what God's doing. We're here to talk about the amazing things that we're hearing about and the promises that God has given us. Whole TV programs are given over to people who actually come on the show to talk about what happened to them years ago. Well, I was abused. Now, there are terrible healing needs. I'm not saying there aren't healing needs. But talking about what happened to you for 30 years is making it more and more of a problem in your life. Because those words get deep rooted and begin to produce more fruit, and then more words, more fruit, and you will continually have what you say. And actually, for many of the cases that we have around us, people around us in our society, the only way they can be healed is by being born again. It's the only solution for a life is to be born again, have a new heart, new spirit, and be taught to root out those negative words and have a healed soul by believing and speaking God's word. Because the tongue will direct your emotions into health. Your tongue will direct your mind into health. Speak a blessed mind. I do not have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Speak the word of God over your whole body, and you will have what you say. There is no issue that is more deep-rooted that can't be rooted out with the word of God. God sends forth his word and heals. And so, beloved, in this message today, the Holy Spirit wants us to understand that our tongues are playing a part in what we are going to be living in the future. And that we need to ensure that we bridle, put a bit in our mouths, saying, no, you're not going to run off on one, even though you feel like saying something right now. Walk away, forgive, and come back and say, now, do you mind if we talk? We must understand the power that that God has given us in the way that we are created. We're created in the image of God, that what we speak is powerful. Particularly when the redeemed start to speak, believe and speak, it turns whole nations around. It turns whole situations around. Because God's word, when it's sent out, it will not return empty, but will accomplish everything it's sent to do. So, your mouth, use it for the glory of God. Let's stand together.